We welcome everyone to come and worship with us this morning, even those worshiping from home, worshiping to online. This lesson today is the title, Rend Our Heart or Rend Our Dharma. In our life, there are maybe have some habit or to bad habits like biting your fingernails. So have you ever experienced those? And on TV, I saw some program with the title, All the Strange Things Happen. Very, very not normal. Or something chewing on some paper. And so also chewing gum. So they have this bad habit. It's so strange. And they don't know how to fix it. It's a psychological issue for that person. In my life and yours, in our worship, will we rend our garment? In Joel chapter 2 verse 13 is an encouragement for the people. Rend your heart and not just your God. People say that we put some thought that we will reap an action. We plan an action, will reap a habit. And if we sow an orbit, there's a story of a duck going into a liquor store. He asked, is there grapes for sale here? And the storekeeper said, this is a liquor store, there's no grape, go away. And so the duck went away. The next day, are there grapes for sale here? And then the liquor store person said, this is a liquor store, we do not sell grapes, go away. The third day, the duck came again. Are there grapes for sale in the store? And he was so angry, he said, yesterday I did not sell grapes, tomorrow will not sell, and never will I sell grapes. Go away. If you are still here, I will put your feet on them. And so the duck was so afraid. When the fourth day, he said, are there some nails here? There are no nails here. What are you saying? So do you sell grapes here? The congregation. When they commit something, often that we don't get a new consequence, they continue to commit that sin. A thief that does not get sent or bait, that we will steal again and again. If we lie one time without any consequences, that liar will continue to lie. They run the stoplight, the red line, that would be giving a ticket, will continue to do it. All that habits that is not good is easy to form into in our life. And with children of God, when our worship does not come from the heart, it will become a habit, a just outward performance. Without value, the Lord is encouraging us to rend our heart and not just rend our garment. Let's pray for guidance so the Word of God can remind us of this worship. Dear Lord, the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, and has saved us to become your children, we are thankful and every week. We have the opportunity to come and worship you. We are happy when we see our brother and sister to come and worship with us. But we are sad when we see that our friends have fallen away. And not just that we are food. And our Father in heaven also desire to see all our his children, all the souls that have been saved from darkness to come back and come into a true worship that you will be pleased. May your word this morning teach us, encourage us, remind us, so we can examine in our life, our worship may be pleasing you. May you forgive our sin, so that we will not be condemned by Satan, so that we can stand before you with courage to worship. We lift everything into your arm. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the two verses in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, we will examine four different aspects of worship. With all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our might. When Jesus said, rend your heart, not only your heart. In the old day, there is a habit in the Old Testament to tear up the garment to express the emotion inside of our heart. Joshua is the leader to lead Israel into the promised land. And this miracle that God has performed, they crossed the Jordan like through dry land. And in front of Jericho, very strong city, and Joshua said to bring the Ark of the Covenant first, and then the Israel people will follow. Every day they have to surround the city one time, do it six times on the seventh day after the surrounding the city walking string, and then the Israel must shout, and then the wall of Jericho. It's a very strange victory by the strength of the Lord, by the power of the Lord. And the walls of Jericho fell down. When they come, destroy everything, the Jericho, they become Canaan. Whenever your foot was stepped, that become your land. And the second city that is a small, this small city named Ai, and Joshua wants his five of them. And so the spy said, we don't need all the army. Only 3,000 army can defeat this Muslim. And Joshua sent 3,000 soldiers to him. But they could not defeat that. 36 was of the soldiers in Joshua chapter 7. And Joshua tore off his cloak with all the elders to fall down into before the ark to give a knee and put ash on their hands. They rent their garment to express what? The repentance of what they have done without consulting the Lord. Jericho is based on the power of the Lord to defeat, but a small city, Ai, they could not overcome, because they did not consult them. To rending the garment is to express an expression of repentance. The Jephthah is a judge in Israel. And the word they invited to lead the people of Israel to fight the enemy is Ammonites. And Joshua prayed, dear Lord, please allow me to defeat the enemies, Ammonites. And if you give me success, and afterwards, whatever that I see, not Joshua, this leader, whoever come out of my housework, I will offer that to you. And God allowed him. And when he return, the first person coming out is his daughter. That's his only daughter coming out. He has no other son or friend. And she was happy to welcome the father back from victory. And Jephthah has tore his cloak and cried, oh no, my daughter, you have brought me down and I am devastated. Because he promised the Lord, whatever come from the house, come out of the house first to greet me, then I will dedicate that to the Lord. And suddenly his daughter, maybe he was thinking maybe a servant, but now it was his own daughter coming out first to greet him. And that chapter, the prophecy could not forfeit. So he tore up his cloak and cried out to the Lord. rending our garment is to express an emotion in the heart of that person. Sometimes the person comes to keep the habit of this rending of garments. Peter told us, sometimes we come, make our worship become a sin, a cycle of sin, to be forgiven, to work the rise up and down, and then opportunity just keep on going in like a circle, a meaningless circle. It becomes a habit, and sometimes we do not feel that we have sinned before the Lord. We will become and we will be forgiven. Dear congregation, this is the Lord's encouragement. Rend your heart and not just your garments. In the dictionaries, has a definition to worship is to express our honor to someone. Somebody worship the ancestor to express the respect to the parents, or to respect a religious leader because to show express the honor to the leader of a religious or an organization or a country. They worship because of the fear of that person or respect. Maybe we worship because we express our respect to the Lord. However, to make our worship to become has a fragrance before the Lord, then the Lord has an encouragement. And God has this encouragement to His Israel. And that is, you must use all your soul, your heart, your mind, and your strength to worship, to love the Lord. If we do not love the Lord, but if love the Lord, there must be very clear with all our heart, with our soul, our mouth, our mind, our mind to love the Lord. Maybe sometimes our worship has become a habit. And many times there are so many in the large special, and today there are so many empty chairs here. The question here is, why are the empty chairs here? Have we ever thought about those things? That is a person that said, but today I could not be there. When we think about, there is a friend or sitting there, but now no longer. The question is why? Is it become a habit and we worship? That means something. We don't need to think about it. We just do it through habit. And if not a need, it's also there, it's okay. If not, it's okay too. And so it becomes meaningless for us. So the first thing we look at is worship is all your heart. We must make it all our heart. The Israelites worship the Lord, but the God said, this her people honor me with their lips. These people honor me with their lips. And that does mean that it's not from the heart, only from the lips. To worship, right, to worship. The God gave us a scripture to become a necessary thing to come and worship the Lord, to make our worship to be right before the Lord. In John chapter 4, verse 23, yet a time is coming when true worshipper will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. And that are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. In the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. The spirit is our heart. What is truth? Truth is the teaching of the word of the Lord. A Christian only uses the heart and not based on the truth. And that is the worship is a blind faith. If we're not led by the Holy Spirit, if that person had truth but without the heart, and that is an unbeliever, does not accept the word of the Lord. Those two are not acceptable. And Jesus gave us the standard. The Father loves those who worship in spirit and in truth based on the heart and based on truth. The word of the Lord. When I worship only on the lips because the heart of that person has been so empty. In the traditional Vietnamese, the big empty container would make a loud noise. The bigger it is, the louder the noise makes it. And if the worship does not come from the heart, and even more just the outward appearance, and make others can pay attention to us. However, when the Lord look at our heart, that kind of worship, the Lord says in verse 7. Everything. So it's like the hypocrites and are just showing off appearance of worship. God called them hypocrites. They are just acting out of their worship. When someone to play and act out, and that person will become the actor. So the worship of a hypocrite has a cause that motivates that person to make that person a worship in vain, and that cause is come from our flesh. That means we worship how so that other can see us worship. That worship is not for the Lord. But it comes from a motivation to be pleasing to others around us. And they worship so that others can see. In Matthew chapter 53. And because of that kind of thinking, that kind of worship, that when they everything they do, they make their selectors wide. And the tassel and their garments make it long. For what? They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be the first to sit at the high table so others can see. They love to pray in the public square, greetings, and wanted others to call themselves rabbi. And all that kind of worship become worship in vain because outward is appearance is seen by human, but inside our heart, the Lord can see. No. When Pastor Nick was here, before he was a Christian, he was a Buddhist. He followed Buddha. And he usually went and asked for arms. And in front of some store, he does not to do anything, just wear a Buddha garment and hold a box and just do something, to say something, and somebody put money in the box for him. Why? Because this is like somebody to come and bless the store. So because of that belief, and so in the whole day, yes, he has so plenty of money. And when he went to California, and he went there before a Vietnamese store, in a Vietnamese store, he saw is of a monk he knew from Vietnam. And so that monk also come to a nail salon and standing there. He wanted to see what this monk is doing, and this monk will go away. Let me make some money. Dear congregation, we can do outward appearance to other, and somebody would misunderstand. But God does not misunderstand us because God can see our heart. When God can see our heart, the devil will encourage his children, oh, go ahead and pray. You give offering, give a lot more. If you come to praise the Lord, go ahead and do it. The devil encourages. He can do everything. It's everything is good. The more you do, there's only one thing. Don't put your heart into it. That's what the devil is encouraging. When we do not bow heart before the Lord. And that is an offering. It's meaningless. That God could not accept our offering. Whatever we do for the Lord without the heart. The devil would not stop us to do anything. But the devil is encouraged not to put our heart into our service. The word of the Lord encouraged you and me in Proverbs 4. Be careful to keep your heart above all else, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 4:23. The heart is the condition that we can experience the life of God that He gave us when we come into the worship. But the devil said, do it, do more, as long as you don't have your heart in it. And so when we come with an offering, with a worship, to come our contribution without our heart in it, we would not receive life from the Lord. Of course not. The Israel people praise the Lord on their lips, so they will never receive any blessing from the Lord. The second point that the Lord is encouraging us is worship with all your mind. First, worship with all our heart, but second, worship with all our mind. In verse 8, but their hearts are far from me. But their hearts are far from me. Why are their hearts as far from the Lord? In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, telling us, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance. And when our heart is darkened and hardened, and then our mind is also in dark. So what we do for the Lord, it does not have any kind of a mindful in there. We do not put God, if we do not put the highest priority, then the devil will make our worship to become darkened. Darkened means that doing something that do not understand what we are doing. It's just according to habit. Peter has written, encourage the church, do not because of obligations. And if we only think about obligation by habit, will we do it that every time I have to open the door of the church? And if I have to clean up the church, if my obligation is to prepare the room, or if my obligation is to praise, then I will praise. And if we do not our mind to prepare, if we do not prepare, we not prepare to worship the Lord. And if we do not plan and put our mind into, and all the offering that we bring to the Lord has become a habit and in vain before the Lord. Peter also encouraged, do not do anything because of the empty fame. It will do it. Some people will think, I will do it if it will bring something of advantage to me. Do not do anything because of empty honor. Do not let other honor us due to what we do, only to be pleasing to people. But whatever you do, do it because of the glory of God. When we do it because of the glory of God, we have to put our mind into it. A pastor would put a mind in the message to bring to the church. A Christian must put a mind when we service for the Lord. Wow. How do we do it? We must be of all heart so that we put a plan forward for things that we bring service to the Lord. If we do it only by habit, if I teach my children or the youngster or this lesson, I am so familiar. We often think, I have teach this taught this morning. I do not need to prepare. I can talk about this lesson without have to prepare. And that kind of teaching is become meaningless before the Lord. What we do must require us to put our mind into it. Paul encouraged the church, when you bring an offering, and don't bring it yet, there by the time. But at home, you have to think about the amount of money, and then you prepare that offering to bring to the Lord. Not just under the time you are here, and then you open your pocket and count the money. That's how we prepare. Though it is a small thing that we have to do, we still have to put our mind to it. And if we do it, not because of the glory of the Lord, it came from our misunderstanding, and that is something very dangerous in our life, in our worship of the Lord. There's a story about a director, electronic components assembly company. One day he come into the assembly line of electronics, and then he saw a person standing there, crossed his arm, not doing work. He was so angry. Everybody was working, and there is one person just standing there, and he does not do any work. And this director was so angry. He asked, what are your wages? I said, normally about $320. And so the director took his wallet and gave $320 for that person. And he was put him away. We don't need a person like you. And then that person took the money. And the other supervisor come. The person, and the director said, and the supervisor said, point to the other person. That person, where was he? And I said, he does not work here. He's a pizza delivery for me. A supervisor said, and he delivered business, and he's waiting for me to give money to him. Dear congregation, when we lack of the understanding, doesn't matter what position, we can commit some kind of business. We are supervised ourselves. Our action would be wrong if we do not be led by the Lord. Then we would act according to our misunderstanding. And that is dangerous for us. So, and God put a problem in Israel, not just rend your garments, but rend your heart. And when we come into the worship, the key verse that would remind us anything, rend your heart and not just your garments. When we come into the worship, it must be something that we put our heart into it. It's also something we put our mind into it. The third point, the Lord reminds us, worship with all your soul. Worship with all our soul, our heart, our mind, and also with all our soul. God rebukes the Israel. They worship me in vain. Why is the worship is in vain, rebuked by God? The purpose of worship is to please the Lord. But if our worship has been rebuked, is worship in vain, then it becomes meaningless the more. One of the misunderstanding of a Christian when we come into the worship, when we come, you come here, what do you hear? Who do you listen to? The pastor in the church. The pastor will preach. Who is listening? the followers, the believers, so that many, we think that when we come into the worship, the pastor is the main actor, and we are the audience. And though the Lord is just reminding to, and that's not the proper worship. The proper worship is that who is the audience? The Lord is our audience. Who is the actor? Everybody in within us. What is the pastor? Pastor is just only a reminder. That's a true worship. You and I come here to sing, and because of the glory of the Lord that we sing. So the Lord is our audience, and you are the actors. You and I come to read the Bible or share the Bible and do listen, and because of the glory of God. God is our audience. You and I come here to put offering into the box, but the offering for the Lord, and the Lord is our audience. You and I can come to receive baptism, communion, and dedication of baby, and all of that, we do it for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. We come here to provide service, different services, but our service must for the glory of God. And everything that we do in the house of the Lord, all because for God and for the glory of God. And if we not of God for the glory of God, then our worship of your and mine will become in vain. And so this is something we would need to examine when you and I come here to participate in some activity. Do we put our soul into it or not? Because our worship is must worship in a way to satisfy the needs of the soul. When we come to the sanctuary to find and seek the Lord, if we come that we do not seek and find the Lord, we can only see each other, that is meaningless. So whatever that we participate, whether it's big or small, in the house of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, then everything, all of that, must satisfy the need of our spiritual need. That is, we can seek and find the Lord. Rick Warren in California wrote about the worship. Maybe we have a worship not perfect, but our worship requires the truthfulness. Maybe we do not sing very good. Maybe the pastor maybe is not very interesting like others. Or maybe the church, only a few, not a big crowd like others. Or the activities is very simple. We don't have very special that that can draw a lot more people. But the key of our worship, the worship, requires the true worship. When we put offering, requires the heart of worship. When we come into the sanctuary to listen to the word, requires the attitude of truthful. When we participate in bringing the gospel to teach for the young of the church, we have to put our heart, do it in a way that is pleasing to God. We can clean, we can decorate, will be the best when we put our soul into it. So the Lord does not want us to be in a condition to be absent-minded. And the purpose of our worship is to bring someone, to bring to see the Lord, and the Lord will come into the heart of that person. That's the purpose of worship. From the sin has entered into the world, we are separated from the Lord. But the Lord has established the worship to for him and the human race to be closer, to be receive the life of the Lord. And in that worship, must bring someone to meet the Lord. And the Lord must come into the heart of that person in the worship. This is a story in a dream. He saw in a dream that he was lift up into heaven. And he was so happy to see the Lord there. He was so pleased. But he saw that the place that he is, he did not see anybody familiar that has died before. And he looked at all the, there are a lot of many things, but in the storage there, it's very few. And he was so surprised, he asked the Lord, what about those who passed away? Where are they? How come I don't see them? And while the services, how come I only see a very few in this storage place to represent what we have done? What you have done that come from the Lord. It will become here in heaven and display here. And this person, do you want to see how the church worship? Yes. Can you let me see how the church worship to them? And before him, he saw many. And so now he looked down on the church and see the pastor, very good preacher, all the choir with all the musical instruments and very strong strength. And there are a big crowd in the church. And every week that he see all of that. And in that time, God let him see. It's a live video to him, just like he was there in person. But there is one thing that is, he saw all of it, but there's no voice. Oh God, can you turn on the volume so I can hear? I do not hear anything. And the Lord said, here, the audio must be managed by the local church. Well, that's so strange. And now we have a very good sound system that the most modern. When I open the system, every sound will be recorded and heard. And the Lord said, and all that sound that travel horizontally. When you open the sound system, and where the sound can travel very horizontally, but from vertical, it does not depend on the volume, but based on your heart of the worshiper. If the worship with the heart, then the sound can travel vertically up into heaven. And depending on whether or not the heart can open the volume. And that reminds us that maybe what we are doing at this point, we can be pleased with that. But the Lord in heaven look down and can see that we are. What we do, is it pleasing to Lord? Is it with all our mind, our heart, and our soul? Or those activities of us become a habit, just repeat day after day, week after week, without meaning. The fourth point God encouraged us is the worship with all our might. We must have our soul, our mind, and our heart, and also our worship must be with all our might. The Lord said, their teachings are merely human rules in verse 9, part B. They have the rules of the Lord, the command of the Lord, but they teaching not the word of the Lord, but now only the rules by human rules. This worship will never be meaningful when we worship only based on our flesh. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 5 and 6, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Very, very sorry to see that we rely on the flesh, on our own knowledge, based on our ability, but does not have our heart in the Lord. That person would be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. That kind of worship will never bring blessing to the Christian that way. The devil is always will encourage the Christian to use your own knowledge, use your own ability from the flesh instead of lean on the power of the Lord. And that is the most powerful and most effective of our power. The devil will encourage, must use our own mind, our own ability. Just rely on your own strength, not on the strength of the Lord. David has said in Psalm, the Lord is my fortress and my strength. Psalm chapter 18, verse 1. Paul has said to Philippians in chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The successful of David because God is his strength and his fortress. The success of Paul because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the danger that will bring us is when the devil deceives us. Use your own mind and deny the Lord. Dear congregation, the danger when we have activity based on the habit, based on tradition, will be make our worship to become meaningless. It has no life in it. It has no power in it. Maybe some will come to worship with us, but they will not be drawn because of lack of the life of Christ. We can go and preach the gospel out, but it will have bring no effect because the life of Christ is not in our worship, in our action. So in our worship, we encourage each of us to think about, to examine that, are we letting our worship, our faith, to become a traditional faith, a habit that we have been learned from our parents that continue to be only in tradition, that each individual has no relationship with the Lord. Come because we want to worship the Lord or not. We don't come here because we see that we are part of the body to put in the body of Christ. Thomas is an apostle of Christ. And tradition said that after Jesus ascended, the apostle received the Holy Spirit and the gospel began to be preached. And from Jerusalem and to other like Judea, Samaria, and all over the world. And according to the plan that God has planned in Acts chapter 1, and when the Holy Spirit will be of you, you will receive the witness from me in Jerusalem, in Judah, in Samaria, and all over the earth. And the gospel preaching is according to God's plan. To preach the gospel of the Lord must be by the Holy Spirit, not by our own strength. And please, it was the Thomas, the apostle, that who come into India to preach the gospel there. One day, if somebody come, Thomas came to us. There's a river. About 18 persons, they were, and they used the water to pick up the water and throw. And Thomas asked, what were you doing? We are worshiping our God. Thomas says, how do you worship your God when you are pick up the water and throw it up the air? These are offering. We want to express our offering to offer to our God. And that's how we put the water up in the air. And Thomas said, and does your God accept your offering? I think that our God accepts our offering of this water. And Thomas says, I think that your God do not accept your offering because the water come up and then fall down. And all these were angry at you. If you bring something here and God give it to your God, let your God accept. It will not fall down. And I will follow your God. And Thomas pray and pray with the Lord and then put it and pick up the water. And so God make the water to be frozen. God could not serve the Lord without the power of God. In our own effort, we could not express the gospel if we do not have the power of the Spirit behind it. That 18 Indians there returned to the Lord. They said that, and maybe that's the first 18 Indians have accepted the Lord through the gospel by Thomas, beginning for the gospel to be spread in India. When we left this sanctuary, we will return to our personal life. There we have friends, relatives of ours. And what would we express? Our worship, not just any only in the sanctuary of the Lord, but the worship is a way of life for us. It is not just a song, offering, listening inside the sanctuary, but it must be an attitude, a lifestyle to receive the power of God to live with our heart, live with our mind, live with the Lord with all our soul, live for the Lord with all of our might, hoping that you and I, we rent our heart, not just rent our garment. The worship by renting the garment is meaningless. May God bless so that the word of the Lord will encourage you. The Bible paints for us a picture, the committing sin. They worship me in vain. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rule. This is something to encourage us not to repeat the way that worship by the Israel people. And that's very dangerous. If we don't see, if we don't understand our worship, and it would just continue happening in our life as though it's just a habit. May the word of the Lord encourage each one of us here to rend our heart and not just our garment. We all stand and we will read about the key verse today. Rend your heart and not your garments. Rend your heart and not your garments. The key verse. Dear our Father, this morning you allowed us to come and worship you. We are happy to see our brother and sister also worship with us. But we also very sad when we see our friends are absent. And we don't know the reason. And we do not know why our brother and sister are not here today. But we know that God is seeing inside our heart. And at this time, you are seeing our heart to come with a purpose. Which purpose is it? You are seeing in our heart what motivates us to come here. So may you have mercy that our worship to express from our heart, to come from our heart. We have to take out of our heart, our mind, our soul, or our might in the way we worship you. Just like Paul has also encouraged us, the Bible has encouraged and reminds us that we have to use our strength when we come into the worship. While we have the opportunity, may we use all our strength to come into that kind of a blessing. We thank you for the faithfulness of come here each week to worship you, for worship through our online service. But I hope that the offering not in our misunderstanding, but make us to understand everything has a purpose from you. May our life to be brought closer to you in our worship. May you come into our life through our worship. We thank you, Lord. When we return, may you walk with us. You will lead us all our life to the front, the way we live, from our activities. Your will be our witness that we are your children. We thank you for the reminder of your word this morning. Continue to lead us to grow in our faith. And there will be nothing to prevent us from coming to the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.